searching for a heart that will love him, longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. And there's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate, and longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all. And he said, love me with your whole heart. He wants it all today. Serve me with your life now. He wants it all today. Bow down, let go of your idols. He wants it all today. He wants it all today. He wants it all today, he wants it all. There's a God that walks over the earth, he's searching for a heart that is desperate, longing for a child that will give him their all, give it all, he wants it all.
Praise that you rightfully do, I do, hallelujah. Father God, right now we just thank you for this opportunity to come before your throne. We thank you that we are welcome. We thank you that you paid the high price of the death and burial and the resurrection of your first son, Jesus. Hallelujah, the first of many brethren. And we thank you, Lord, that we are part of your family now. Father God, right now we're asking for you to bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom in the revelation of the knowledge of Jesus. We ask that you bless the eyes of our understanding to increase, to that we will better understand what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory and inheritance you have in us, your saints, the great and exceeding power that you have made available, amen, to those who will submit and obey you. Father God, we ask that you bless us and send us the knowledge of your will and the courage and strength to carry it out so that we'll be fruitful in every good work approved of by you. We ask that you bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Right now, Father, I ask you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people and even my own. We want it to be all of you and none of me. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's sad that I hear these reports of suicide, particularly amongst you, the young. And if you watch news or watch a lot of YouTube, you can see why they're feeling hopeless. You know, I met a young lady who was telling me how anxious and her 8-year-old daughter was concerned about being killed at school because they, you know, this is not secret, but I told her, instructed her what to do. See, right now, it's critical, like I said, for us to thus to be, as Peter said, he said it in 1 Peter 3:15, be prepared to give every man an answer of the hope that lies in you. In other words, you need to read the word. You need to know that we are the only Jesus they're going to see. And you have to accept that responsibility. Right now, it's still the gathering. God is collecting people for his kingdom. He's teaching them. And you don't know what great thing or person may come from your from you witnessing to them. You know, there are various ways to witness to people, you know. And you want to be as sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You go back to the last 5 sessions we talked about, and we talked about being led of the Spirit. Sometimes, you know, there are people that God has rejected. You see that in Romans. You know, he called, because they wouldn't acknowledge him, he turned them over to a reprobate man. And sadly, there are some people that have just decided to go to hell, and God will accommodate them. You know, they will have a chance. They have the same opportunity that we have. Amen. Hallelujah. And if you're new, just hang in there. Just stick to it, because this Jesus is real, and we can win. I'm not feeling the pressure or a threat, or I'm not concerned with the government and all their activities. I know Satan is behind it. This stuff was written down thousands of years ago. We are seeing it manifest, which means Jesus said, when you see all this happening, look up. Amen. Look up. Amen. Because your redemption, amen, when you get the full payment, is about to come right now. All right. So, you know, I just want to encourage you to hold on. I mean, hold on. As they said, to God's unchanging hand. And that means draw closer to him. Draw closer, because he said, if you draw now, I know from experience, if you shut the TV off and then you open up your Bible and you read it, God will begin to talk to you. He does that with everyone. You know, what pastors do in a sense is certify that God, amen, was talking to you. You know, there have been many times God has shared revelation with me, and then I go to church and hear it, or I look on TV and I hear it. Well, you can't go wrong following the word of God. Now, there is a caution, because we are to rightfully divide the word. People chop it up all kind of ways. I encounter those type too. But what you won't encounter, what I don't encounter, with those that chop it up. If somebody chops up the word, that spends every day with God. See, 7 days a week, take time out of your day. See, God is not asking everybody for the whole day. There's very few people that he demands that from. I don't think there's anyone he has, that he demands the whole 24 hours or the 16 hours that you woke. Amen. So let's read here our opening scripture. Let's go to Matthew chapter 22, which is Jesus speaking. And, you know, you gotta take Jesus at his word, but understand this, he's gone through. See, the one thing about it, you can't tell Jesus he don't know what we going through, because he went through more than what we went through. Oh, not, my bad, not Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 10, verse 22. Okay. I'm looking at this and I'm seeing something entirely different. And I'm reading here out of the Amplified first and see what it's saying. And all right. Now, well, I'm going to start with verse 21. He's talking. Maybe I should go back up from the all right, I didn't have to go all the way back to the beginning. All right, well, I'm going to start there. I'm going to see. Think about this. I want you to get the context of this, because you're in a world right now that there's an expectation from a few that think that we in America are going to experience persecution. I personally do not believe that. I believe they might try it. They have tried it. You do encounter those that will speak out in rejection. But at the same time, I think folks is kind of catching on that these floods and these droughts are not just an accident. Because if you don't have God to protect and bless you, and if you don't have the saints of God praying for you, you're going to have to deal with the consequences of this. You know, I was watching how on the Mississippi, and last year was drying up. Now this year is running over the banks. You know, it's out of balance. And seeing that right there actually can't be controlled by the saints of the Most High God. But Jesus is trying to bring an alignment that you can't lose sight of the reality of a spiritual warfare. There is a devil. He's not an imaginary person. He's a real person. And he is at war with God, even though it's a fruitless effort on his part. But we are in the middle of that because, again, you got to remember, we are in the process of being made into the fullness that God wants us to be as a spirit / God man, small g, okay? God man is a God class creature. We're totally different. I get opportunities to share, and you got to really think about the capacity or the nature of your being. I mean, think about it. You can see, hear, and smell, and you actually are in the center of that body of flesh that you're in. That body is just something that you can control called the soulish realm that allow you to manifest in this realm. Without it, I wouldn't be able to see you or hear you. And that's saying a whole lot. My body right now, my mouth is not speaking on its own, okay? That's a kind of, when they had that problem, that's some kind of disease is taking over people, even when it's mental. And, you know, but the point here is Jesus is trying to keep them aware of the fact that they are engaged in spiritual warfare. And then, mind you, he had to just give them a brief lesson on this, and he had to kind of give this to him on the fly, because in a few days he was going to be executed. He said, listen carefully, I am sending you out like wolves, like sheep among wolves, so be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Have no self-serving agenda. Beware of men whose nature is to act in opposition to God. for they will hand you over to the courts and flog you in their synagogues, and you will be brought up before governors and kings for my sake as my witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. Those are people that were born without God, without a covenant. But when they hand you over, do not worry about how or what you ought to say, for what you ought to say will be given to you within that very hour. For it is not you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. This is, remember that, whenever you hear me say that the Holy Spirit is not a lesser person than God himself. I know that's incredible. That's incredible. That's something. I'm telling you, that's saying a whole lot. Okay. The brother will betray brother to death and the father his child, and the children will rise up and rebel against their parents. We're seeing a lot of that today. And cause them to be put to death. That's happening right now in other countries, you know. That's only because they really don't understand the power that they have. That's not the, and that is not the will of God. Okay, that's the will of Satan, but they just lack the revelation knowledge of authority that they have over that demons over there. And you will be hated by everyone because of your association with my name. But as the one who has patiently persevered and endured to the end, who will be saved. Now, I have met people that gave up because, one, there's a lot of things that you're going to have a lot of attacks. Yeah, Paul said, they that live godly shall, not if, not might, shall suffer persecution. Now, Your foundation to survive all that has to be knowledge of the Word of God and being in the mix or in the midst of people that walk up right before God. Now, listen, you've been going to church for a little while, you find some folk drop in and visit. You can spot, I tell you what, you go to Bible class night and you find the warriors, okay? You know, I would recommend that people looking for a spouse go to Bible class, don't you know, and doing the prayer and worship service, look around and see who's praying and who's worshiping, because those are people in love with God, and they do it, and they're not perfect people, but they come to the place where they value God above all things, you know. It's amazing, you know. It's a blessing because you'll find that you get to know some people. I know people that are doctors and lawyers, and but they do not exalt themselves. They exalt God. I mean, it's awesome because this the key to your survival, because at the end of the day, you're trying to get in and be a permanent member of the kingdom of God, and Satan doing all he can to stop you, mind you. God let the devil exist. So this thing ain't automatic, because you're going to have responsibilities doing the kingdom in the kingdom of God. But your level of authority and your ability is going to be far higher than what it is now. I mean, you got to get that in your head. This is not done in a vacuum. God ain't just making this up on the run. I've been here. In my lifetime, my 45 plus years as a Christian, I've heard all kind of crazy stories. You know, they say that, but you know what? The Holy Spirit started me years ago to asking people, did you ask God about that? See, because, you know, I respect all men of God. Even, I don't care how far off the mark they are. The Bible tells me I am. If a brother is taking in a fall, you with a spiritual restore such a one. It just ain't enough of us praying for the Pope. But anyway, still, I have enough confidence in the Word of God, okay? And so when that God covers every aspect of life. The Bible covers everything because, see, knowing that I'm supposed to pray for those in authority, and it doesn't just mean the secular world. Some Christians seem to act that way, but that includes pastors. you know, and quit acting like pastors are Jesus. They ain't. They make errors. And you know, treat them like you want to be treated. Jesus said, "The merciful shall receive mercy." You know, they are in the first line of attack. That's typical warfare. You know, if you go into sniper training in the military, they teach you how to shoot the leaders. They don't teach you how to shoot the common soldier. You go at snipers go after leaders. Okay, and that's the same tactic that Satan used. You know, it bugs me when people attack pastors. I don't care what their issue is. That's between them and God. I get on the devil's case. But anyway, that ain't what I'm talking about. But that is, I'm saying, that is part of it, because we try to get through this thing together. We keep the leadership strong. We keep the body strong. I mean, if you ask any boxer, he'll tell you, he get a headshot in, he can shake, he can pummel the body. See? And I know people that have been hurt by pastors, okay, hurt by church members. See, but Satan is going to come after you that way. It's warfare. It ain't pretty. It ain't pretty all the time. But Jesus said something here in this last verse. He said, the one who, in verse 22, the one who persevered. Now, listen, that ain't automatic, okay? You know, you see them big muscle builders and body builders. You know, they don't just go and just lay down on the bench and build all that muscle. They encourage pressure. They encourage it, and they fight the resistance. They fight the overcoming push of gravity on that weight. And that's what we are supposed to do. Listen, you know, let's go to Acts 1:8. Amen. Follow the boss. Amen. And read it. This is Jesus just before he left. Hallelujah. Give me a minute here. This thing kind of slow. Anyway, I guess I have to find another format here. Okay. It's taking all day here. All right. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria. You can call it in Ecos and in Detroit and Texas and to the ends of the earth. All right. Now, the key to what I want to key on is, why would God give you power? Okay, you need power to overcome resistance. Let me say that again. You need power. Look who's talking here. You need power to overcome resistance. Otherwise, you don't need power. It's just that simple. I mean, you got to really, sometimes, you know, you got to, when you see something in the Bible, you really just have to stop and take note of who he is talking to, what he is talking about. Because again, if this was a simple issue, the Bible wouldn't be as thick as it is with as many examples as it has if it was that simple. But this is the thing, this is the key factor that you have to bear in mind once you start this journey. You guaranteed to complete it. You will have to stop, okay? Now, you're going to have them days where you don't want to go forward. That comes with the territory. That's like with anybody. You know, anybody that's participated in any challenging event, any athletic event, they reach a point where they have to take a break, okay? But the main thing to bear in mind here is that you have already won the battle. So what's incumbent upon us, what's necessary for us, is to learn to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. We're in the 10s today. Okay. Hebrews chapter 10, another one. This is Paul. You know, it's amazing. I once read a debate about who wrote the book of Hebrews. I'm like, okay, so what difference does it make? Really? And here we go. We're going to start at verse 23 is actually the focus verse, but I'm going to read further down because it gives you not only this challenge, but how to maintain the challenge. Again, I'm reading from the Amplified. It says, "Let us seize and hold tightly the confession of our hope or faith." It should be faith. Faith and hope are not the same thing. That's where they went wrong on this. But anyway, confession of our faith without wavering, for he who promised is reliable and trustworthy and faithful to his word. And let us consider thoughtfully how we may encourage one another to love and to do good deeds, not forsaking our meeting together as believers for worship and instruction, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more faithfully as you see the day of Christ's return approaching." I want to go to church. Be around a church, folks. You know, be around folks that's going to encourage you one way or another. We got Zoom. God didn't give us Zoom. Y'all be holding Zoom services. I mean, we got this. It's too much going on to be, you know, I hear this thing now that they're talking about all these people that suffering from loneliness. Well, I ain't having that problem, so why they having that problem? You know, all my close friends died from COVID. All my skating buddies. I mean, a lot of people I know, over 100 people I know died, but I'm still not lonely, okay? Because God got more people. He said he'll supply my needs according to his riches and glory. Not being lonely is a supply he can fulfill. You just have to be open to receive. Besides, I get to learn new people in a new way, all right? But note this. He said to seize it. I'm going to switch just a minute here. I want to go to the New King James. Okay, so let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Now listen, so if life's going to have challenges. This ain't heaven. And again, as we just said, God gave us power. I mean, he ain't just give us some power. He ain't give us with that Duracell battery power. He gave us Holy Ghost power. So that right there says that you can overcome what the challenge is. But you know, as it is with weapons, you have to be trained. Now, the training here, one, you got to study the word. You enter into the word, God will give you revelation. Okay? If you're doing an investigation, God will give you information, and that'll get you illumination that will lead to revelation. And you'll be able to stand. You will be able to stand because, you know, listen to all the craziness right now. And had another discussion with somebody. They talking about they can't stand an arrogant Christian saying that there's only one God and one way to heaven. Well, I didn't make that statement. God did. I didn't come up with that idea. If it was, I personally don't care. I ain't God. God cares. He said. Matter of fact, they can be upset about it, but that, you know what? Remember this, young folk. Do not argue with people. Make your statement because you cannot do what God has not done. Okay? You have to, as Peter said, all you got to do is state your case, okay? They asked me a question. I gave them an answer. They could have not asked me. But if you ask me, I'm going to give you what the words say, okay? Now, that just went that way. But I knew they weren't going to like all the answers I gave them anyway because it left them without their argument. But the point of the matter is here, what we focus on right now, let's stay on track, okay? Is going to the end, all right? Now, Let's go to, I'm gonna bypass Isaiah. Okay, well, no, we're going to go to Isaiah 26, though. I'm gonna go to Isaiah, but I'm going to go to Isaiah 26, because this is some of the things you have to do. You have to understand. Isaiah 26 and 3, a very familiar scripture. Now, this is for you know, I get it. I know life throws a lot. I recently went through a whole lot of stuff, okay? That's going to happen. Now, true enough, I've been at this longer, and you don't want to go through it, but if you reach back to some of my other messages on the fruit of the Spirit, if there's a fruit of the Spirit, you know, I once posted a picture on Facebook, and one picture was a picture of a pear, the other was a picture of a lemon. Sometimes it tastes like lemons. You just have to put some, you know, take a bite of a pear or something with it to add a little sugar on it. It's that way because, again, you go back to the weightlifters, that nobody goes in their right mind. You know, your mind might say you can bench press 300 pounds, but once you get up under the 300 pounds, you will find out it ain't just that simple. You know, because, and it doesn't matter about the size of your muscle. Actually, it's been proven it's the size of your inner man. You know, I saw myself, a man that weighed 150 pounds. He did an exercise called a squat with weights, and he squatted 750 pounds. Now, picture that. He's a little skinny little guy, and he's got 700 pounds on a bar, puts it on his back, squats down, and stands up. Now, so think about that. That because why? That, again, is your spirit. Remember, you're a spirit with a mind, will, and emotion inside of a body. What is happening is your spirit is generating energy to the muscle. It ain't the muscle, it's the spirit. The spirit controls all that. See, God is trying to get us to realize how powerful we are and why, if we can love him and love our neighbor, he's not going to let us into his kingdom. You're not going to let it roam the universe. You're not going to get to be your own person. This is never going to be a democracy. It's never going to change. You're never going to have a vote. It's God's way or no way, and you don't want the other way. I guarantee you that. You want to know what the other way is? You know, that was another thing. They said, why would God put, you know, he didn't put nobody in here. He gave you a brain. He gave you a mind, will, and emotions, and the revelation of his word. And it said, choose you this day. But this is what it takes. You're here. I gave him the argument. I told God, I didn't ask to come in. He's like, you here now? Deal with it. ain't nothing you can do. You can't go back. You know, if you can be mad about it, don't matter. You can, there's lots of mad people in hell. And if you read the book of Revelation, it's going to tell you people are going to be cussing God out for the 50-pound hailstones are going to be dropping down on their head. You know, and you know, but anyway, in Isaiah, he gives you something. Listen at this, simple as it sounds. Now, he's testifying to God. He says, you will keep him in peace, in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Okay? Trust in you. Trust, confidence, faith, leaning on. Okay? Totally. See, that happens. You're gonna. It becomes easier after experience, and that's what God will allow you to go. That's why it's necessary for us to go through the different challenges. Because when you have experience like what I just went through recently, no, it wasn't pleasant, but I was confident of the outcome, and that's the key factor there. And again, I know this ain't gonna always be. There's some great things coming, but the fact of the matter is, you're gonna be challenged because how are you going to know, you know, what you can do unless you go through? And God already knows what you can handle. Okay, God already knows, but you can make it because one of the reasons I want you to pay attention to this and bear this in mind because. One of the things that Satan does to get people off track. track is back off and allow their prosperity to manifest, because that he has a lot of success with that. And the only thing that stops that is love for God. Love for God, it doesn't matter what you receive, how much you have, you'll be grateful for it, you'll enjoy it, but you won't take every Sunday off. I know people are going to slip and take some, but you won't go get on your boat when you should be at serving at church. And again, I'm going to throw this out there. You've been in church 3 years, and you don't do anything at church, you don't have a revelation of your relationship with God. I'm just going to be honest with you. I've never not served some capacity. I've cleaned bathrooms, stoves. I've always volunteered for stuff. I worked in the parking lot. I have, the position I'm in now, I got drafted into. I was happy with the parking lot detail. In the wintertime, okay, in the cold, looking out for the sisters going to their cars. You know, I've always done something. Be an usher. Listen, that carries weight with God. That means a lot. And it'll bless you. You should be blessed to be a blessing. You blessed to be a blessing. So be a blessing. Don't let Satan tell you that ain't nothing to God. That's very something. That's God's house. That is not Taj Mahal, you know. Anyway, all right. So you're going to have these challenges. But let's read one of them. Let David, because David, my man, he went through some stuff. And you got to go back. That's why you read the Old Testament, because they're human. They're not, I know somebody that thought that they were a bunch of super saints and that they never got it wrong. And now this is for those that seems like God taking a long time. Actually, he's not taking a long time. We take the long time. Listen, there's a lot to learn. One of the things you want to learn, go on YouTube and learn about confession and prayer. You really need to understand how prayer works, because God can't answer a prayer not prayed, okay? And we play a role. We play a role in how things get done. I mean, really, that's part of the process. That's why we're here. Again, if God wanted it to be simpler, I saw a situation that where I made a statement that even if people got saved and died, people would still be afraid of Christianity, because they would see people get saved and then they see them die, but they wouldn't be sure about what happened after that. Again, because they don't have the revelation. Amen. But I saw a program that was like that. It's amazing. Okay, but this is to the chief musician, the Psalm of David, Psalm 13, verse 1 and 2. It says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily?" Now, one is, a lot of people, they carry sorrow longer than they should, than they have to, than they need, okay? Again, I recently encountered somebody that their 24-year-old daughter died. That's a short end of life. And listen, let me tell you something. Satan is the killer. John 10:10. Matter of fact, let's read that. I want you to get this, because I know it's some new people listening. You need to know who's doing what. You know, I've heard preachers say, you know, who knows the wisdom of God and why this happened? Listen, it's written in the Bible how this thing works. This is Jesus talking. He said, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundant." Now, you know, I will go through this for my new people. Okay, let me get this. You might be you're going to listen to this radio, but you can take notes. Now, the Lord showed me 7 criteria for success as a Christian. And one, the number one criteria is you must have a covenant through Jesus Christ. And what I'm talking about now is people often wonder what happened to these people. Like that young lady, her daughter died. I don't know. You know, the fact of the matter is I didn't have time to ask her, was your daughter saved? Are you saved? Because if you're not, you don't automatically have the protection of God. Okay? Now, this is something you got to understand, that Satan is the god of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. He gained that access when he tricked Adam and Eve in the garden thousands of years ago, and that's going to remain. Now, what he doesn't have, once you come into Christ, he doesn't have authority over you. I'm not going into a lot of detail on that, but you just have to believe me. But you must have it. And John 1:12 says, as many as received him, to them he gave authority to become the sons of God. If you're a son, then you're an heir. If you're an heir, then you're entitled to the benefits and promises of God that come through, that was manifested and established through Jesus, that God made from all the way through the Bible. All right? Now, then the other aspect is you must forgive. See, Jesus said, if you don't forgive, your Heavenly Father won't forgive you. And if you're in unforgiveness, that don't mean you got to take him out to dinner and all this stuff unless you're married to him. But, you know, you got to let it go. Because if you don't, you're holding the door open for Satan to come and steal, kill, and destroy. That's what happens in that process. Those are the times. These are the reasons that he can get through the door. Okay? You can't practice what God calls sin. Now, there's man's sin and there's God. What God practices, that don't mean like somebody cuts you off in traffic and you don't say, praise the Lord, he bless the Lord. And that means that that's a practice with you. Yeah, somebody, every time somebody cuts you off in traffic, you cussing them out, talking about their mama, even though they can't hear you, and you never repent from that. You never change from that. That's what practice is, a daily operation of it, okay? But then, and that's what James, in chapter 4, verse 17, said, he didn't know if to do good and do it not, to him it is sin. So you gotta keep that in mind. And God realized it takes time to manifest and learn all these different aspects. That's why he gives us time. He'll cut slack. See, I've been at this 40 years. I'm getting little slack. I don't even try to make excuses. I've been up and down. I know what it's like. Okay, you must control your mouth. You gotta people say stuff and they quote stuff and they say, I take one step forward and two steps back, you know. I mean, they speak. You have to be aware of the fact that what comes out of your mouth will affect you. People think, you know, that you're trying to be too saved if you don't cuss every now and then. Listen, when you release profanity out of your mouth, it surrounds you. It becomes part of your life. You can cuss me out, but it becomes part of your life. See, Satan understands how the word works. He understands how the words of your mouth work, all right? So I'm trying to just give you an idea of the doors that open. And then this is for Christians. Number five is you must be obedient and worship with tithes. A lot of people think our economy right now, this is my own personal opinion. All this stuff going on with the economy right now, is what pastors out there teaching people they don't have to tithe. Let the people decide for themselves, okay? Tell them what the word says. Tell them to go to God about it, okay? You know, I mean, listen, really, can God meet your need? He said, God said in Malachi chapter 3 that he would open up the windows of heaven and pull you out. He didn't say your pastor would or your church would. That's not their job. You know, they help fund these Feed America programs. People talking stuff they don't know nothing about. But anyway, now, this is another one that eludes a lot of people. You must serve God in prayer. How can you go as a saint of God, the only one, you are part of the royal priesthood of God, and you go every day and you never pray for anyone? Okay? Satan knows that that's he again, that's James. He that knows to do good and doeth not, God don't have nobody but us to pray. That's how this thing works. See, and you must be in pursuit of the will of God, which means basically align your life up with the word of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, okay? And all these, the rest of the life will be added to you. But see, you need, and if you don't know the word of God, you don't pray, then yeah, something, listen, Uvalde, Texas, how did them kids get killed? Tennessee, at their Christian school, how did them kids get killed? They got killed because somebody didn't pray. That's all it is to it. That ain't the will of God. That is not the will of God. I just read you who does the stealing and the killing. Now, how does the less powerful satanic being accomplish that? How does he overthrow the angels that he couldn't overthrow when he got kicked out of heaven? He ain't gained no power. There is less prayer. There's another thing that, you know, this all in alignment together. I mean, think about this. This is what I'm talking about, holding on to the end. See, when stuff like that pounds you all the time, your family, imagine that. You get laid off from your job. Then your child get killed. Your car break down. See, all that is happening. Listen, some things you can't overcome because you don't have enough vital power. That's another reason we have to pray for each other. I spend a lot of time praying. Listen, you know what? The few minutes that you pray, that you stop each day, all day, during the day, that matters. That matters. The quick time, you know, I'll stop in the middle when I hear a siren go off. I pray for the police. The guy was sending angels in camp around about him. Nobody else on the planet can command that but us. Okay, but I'm saying all this that as we go through this battle, this is why Paul talks about us. See, when I go to church, I see other people. I know everybody at church going through something. Everybody, including the pastor, everybody. Ain't nobody getting a break. But as long as we keep praying for each other, we can make it to the end. The closer we get to the end, saints, the more challenging it's going to be. And I still think the greatest challenge is going to be prosperity. I see it coming. That's how Satan got Israel into captivity. The last time they went into captivity, that's what happened. That's what you see. You ask God to reveal what he's talking about in Isaiah chapter 1. That'll get you. But then he going to throw all this other stuff. Look at all these, well, in this neighborhood, they got like 20 pot shops in a 1 mile radius, okay? Why? Because that's to weaken your spirit. That's to weaken your resolve. That's to weaken. Now, some people, I don't get into them debates and what and that. People, listen, I don't care what you do. You need to really just stay tuned with God. And one of the best things that I know is Ephesians 5:18, one of my favorites. Because be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. I'm glad I'm not the only one that understands, because I know my brother agreed that being filled with the Spirit ain't just about speaking in tongues. If I'm filled with the Spirit, I'm not going to cuss you out in traffic. When I'm filled with the Spirit, you call me a name, I'm not going to call you one back. I'm filled with the Spirit. I'm not going to render evil for evil because I'm filled with the mind of God. I'm filled with, because I see the demon behind that act, and I will attack that demon, okay? And I realize that if you don't like me, you don't like God, and you're hellbound, and God still wants me to help you get rescued. See, that's what being filled in the Spirit. You see, when they were filled with the Spirit, they went out and did things for God. When you're filled with the Spirit, you will pray for people. You will pray. You realize they need it. Believe me, because I see it. People had trouble praying for the former president. There are people that have trouble praying for the present president. Why? The Bible tells us, pray for those in authority. Right? We have that authority. We have that. God is not watching just what they do. He's watching what we do. And again, when Satan sees or the demon that's a tight sign, you see your weakness in that area, that's what he gonna do. He looks for those little cracks and attacks you and try to wear you down. Like I say, he wear down the saints. He wear them down in different ways. God let him exist. Think about that. You know, once that revelation came to me, I'm like, well, the only thing I can do is fight him. With what? The word. Fight him with the word. All right? So now we're going to go to another little piece of scripture here. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Okay? And let's get a little closer view of this. And we're going to start at about verse 10. Because, again, we got it easy. You know, because we didn't have what Paul, I just went a few thousand miles and I didn't have to walk. Paul had to walk. Okay. I mean, they got some maps of Paul's journey on him. Look at, he walked everywhere. The most he might have had is a donkey and occasionally he sailed on them. You ever seen one of them little ships every year here in Detroit? They bring in the ships that Christopher Columbus and them, they're remakes, but they give you an idea that them dudes did not sail on an ocean liner. I mean, you know, I saw a movie where Master and Commander, and then in the wintertime, this guy is relieving his self, and he's sitting on the front of the ship with his pants down while it's snowing. Man, see, we got it made. We got it made. I'm telling you, I don't even have to do that kind of stuff. We read the Bible, we act like they had it like we have it. No, they didn't have it nowhere near it. And yet they were able to stand. And again, I recommend that you get a copy of Fox Book of Martyrs and read it, because you will see the warfare that it took. That we don't go through anything. Okay, so somebody called me arrogant. Oh, wow, that really hurt. That ain't nothing. Paul got beat, literally beat to death. Beat to death. That is Lystra. God revived him because his work wasn't over yet. Okay, he got stones. And that the stoning that he got, he wasn't smoking some pot or some LSD. He got hit with rocks. You know, God had to heal him and send him on his way. All right, it says Paul to the Ephesians. Now, the Ephesians were Gentiles. Understand that, Jews and Gentiles. Actually, the book of Hebrews is the only book that's in Hebrew. The only non-Gentile book. The rest of them are to Gentiles, you know. And there were Jews in these Gentile nations because they were still in captivity, because they didn't ask God about who Jesus was. But Paul is bringing a light to them. There's a lot about that. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, just studying the word, you ain't done all. If you had, you need to take, you know, one of the greatest evangelists that walked on the earth of the United States was Smith Wigglesworth. And when you read his commentary about his life, he spent a lot of time praying, like most people, you know. He understood that, but he made it a point to spend just 10 minutes a day worshiping God. 10 minutes. 10 minutes, and God used him to raise people from the dead. 10 minutes. And I'm going to tell you something else. I was doing some research on healings. You know what I find when I cross-reference, read all the scripture on healing? You know, I'm not against healing lines in churches at all. But, you know, the healing wasn't used for the most part for the body. It was used for those outside. You go back and read where people got healed. You don't see them going around the churches holding revivals for healing. You see them going to the world. And I look for that. And that's a learning process because I guess I may have to go to a healing school. They have one. They do have one. And I understand the scripture, but I also, what I sought God about was knowing when. If I'm in Kroger, I want to know when. I want to know what's the criteria that you're going to, because see, there are people that have rejected God to the degree that he won't do nothing for them. Okay, it is. There are people that lack the faith to be healed. You know, there's a situation in which Paul said, seeing that he had faith to be healed. Okay, seeing that. How did he get that? I want to understand that revelation, knowing that. Because God is good. That's his calling card to the world, love. He gives them love in that way. That's what he did to me. I didn't know how bad a shape I was in. My mind definitely was not in perfect peace. I can tell you that. Yeah. They talk about mental issues. Yeah, you have a lot. When you don't really know God, and life ain't, you know, it was just as much chaos in the 70s as it is now. Same ain't changed. Okay? But see, once he tapped into me, once I tapped into the Holy Spirit, once I connected my man with God, everything else became non-issue. I just had to learn the process, and it wasn't possible for me to learn without reading the Word. I sat down and I read the Word, and once I sat down and read the Word, I knew I was going to sit down and read the Word. That thing, I do not understand Christians that don't make it an effort to read it because you don't understand it. Really? Listen, God, when he say, give his grace to the humble. Give his grace to the humble. You start reading what he wants you to know, what he thinks is important, I guarantee you he will give you the revelation of that word. He will verify, certify, and you'll be amazed. You'll be amazed because you want, at the end of the day, it's between you and him. Okay? And it covers all the territory. You really want to be in the Word. And this is what Paul is talking about. We're going to pick some of this up next week. We're going to remember that. We're going to pick up in the whole armor of God because you're going to need it, I'm telling you. You see what's going on. They've got this thing with the debt is just really, you know, them folk been at this thing since at least 100 years that I know. So don't buy into all that stuff. You know, we are in the last days. But again, it's the armor of God, for the most part, as we would read it further, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And they did not have this whole Bible. Paul wrote this, but did nobody have a copy of it? You know, I bought one of them copies of the 144 AD Bible, and I'm telling you, it wasn't complete. I mean, it was only 12 books, 12. It didn't have none of the Old Testament, okay? So it was just the beginning of trying to give us a foundation, and then of that, they did not have it, and because it didn't have everything, with that word they used, they anathemized the book, or cursed the book, because it didn't have everything. I mean, come on, it was enough for you to know you need to trust God. And that's the bottom line. That is the bottom line. Because at the end of the day, that's all you want. And take somebody with you. Encourage somebody. Find somebody to encourage. Call somebody. You know, you'll find a joy in encouraging people. I do. I find a joy in encouraging people. You know, giving them some hope. And as Peter said, be prepared to give every man an answer. Read the Word and God. Listen, don't worry about trying to memorize so much. The Holy Spirit will remember for you. That's what it says in John, I believe, 16:13. He shall bring to your remembrance whatsoever he has said unto you. It's either John 16:13 or 14:26, but read those chapters because God will work in you and with you and through you. See? All right. Well, maybe it's the first time you ever heard a message like this, and you've been going back and forth. Listen, I'll tell you, you can't figure this out on your own. You need to just believe God and receive God, okay? And it's a simple process. I have a series on there about Christ on YouTube, and then you really want to understand. This is a deep subject, but God can bring it to the surface to you. But it has to begin. See, I can give you information. You got to get revelation from God. And God legally cannot talk to you until you receive Christ. I know that. Don't try to figure that out. Do just follow us with this prayer, because then God can minister to you in a way that he's not able to. He can minister through us to you, but you ought to have a certification in yourself, because if somebody's sticking a gun to your head telling you to deny Jesus, you want to know that you know, because people are getting their heads cut off over this. I don't know what's coming to America. I just know I want to try some things in the Word. And then again, I don't know. God might just let it happen. He might just let it happen to shake people up, because people are still playing crazy. They keep acting like it's going to get better. No, Jesus said it's going to get worse. It is going to get worse. I pray every day, but it's going to get worse. I know a lot of people that pray every day, but it's going to get worse as we get closer. That's what's described in Revelation chapter 12. The woman in travail, and when the women get close to having a baby, the closer they get to that new life coming forth, the greater the pain. And the good part is, we don't have to go through the greatest part. You know, we leave in the first trimester. That's where we at now. We ain't got to stay down there to the end. Hallelujah. But anyway, just say this prayer. Father God, I do not understand everything, but I will believe you at your word. I believe that we were all born in sin. And I believe that you sent your son to die for our sin, and that he was buried and you resurrected him and is alive now. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and to save me now. And I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth, I am saved. I am born again. And if you're coming back to Christ, you say, Lord God, forgive me. And I ask for forgiveness, amen, according to 1 John 1:9. And I believe I receive my forgiveness and I am restored in Jesus' name. You know, that's so simple. God makes it simple, because the rest of the life is the challenging part. But just know this, you can win this battle. You can win. I've been at it 46 years, you know. And at times I thought I was going to stop, but somebody told me when you're laying flat on your back, you can't look nowhere but up, okay? Anyway, just remember this. Prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love, and God is love. Shalom.
Yeah. Tuesday. Said I woke up to the summer shining through, calling all my friends asking what's the move, feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today,
I ain't gonna let no cloud get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I pick. Catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade.
Today,
ooh, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I ain't gonna let it slip away. I'm gonna be joyful. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm gonna be joyful.
Today.
I'm gonna be joyful. Ooh. I'm gonna be joyful. I got that feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today.
So fast, life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your road. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah.
I'm gonna be joyful.
Joy, down the
down to my heart. I got the joy down to my heart. I got the J-O-Y down to my heart. I got the joy down.